Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You can find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. These radio programs, Bible videos, sermons, articles, things that can help you in your examination of the Word of God. We'll also give you some information about us. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our Bible study periods and our worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We have one desire, to show your need for God in your life and to show how that can be obtained through relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and be with us and let us open the Bible and reason together. We've been looking at for the past few weeks the subject of what saves man, one thing or many. We want to begin this morning by looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All of us know the passage of John 3, verse 16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone that believeth on him will be saved and shall not perish." Now, we all know what John 3, 16 says. And we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it is God's desire that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. So man is saved by God. How is man saved by God? He's saved by God because God gave the eternal plan in how man could be saved. Before the foundation of the world, before God said, "Let there be light," before one thing was created in this world, God had an eternal plan. And that eternal plan is called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is through that gospel that all men could be reconciled, could be justified, could be sanctified, could be brought into fellowship and a relationship with Him through His Son. And so God is the one that made the plan. God made the plan and determined it before anything was created, how He would save sinful men. He knew when He gave man free will to make the choices for himself, that man would make the wrong choice, that he would yield to temptation and he would commit sin, which would separate him from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve after they were tempted in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, and they gave in. And then at the end of chapter number 3, he cast them from the Garden of Eden, and they died that day just like God said they would in Genesis 2, verse 17, 16 and 17. And so what we see here is that God made a plan, even though men would rebel against him and would disobey him, he had a plan already in place and began to unfold it from that period throughout history in order to bring man's redemption, to make it possible that he could be brought into a relationship with him through obedience to that plan. That leads us to our second part today. We are also saved by Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, in recounting his birth, we read in verse 21 of chapter 1, "And you will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sin." Then in John chapter 1, in verse 29. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards them and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" We also read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. The scripture says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And then one other passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21. The scripture says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might come to the righteousness of God in him." Man is saved by Jesus Christ. He was the centerpiece of God's eternal plan. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 12, when we are introduced to the patriarch Abraham, if you remember that he made some promises to Abraham. He promised to make of his descendants a nation. And when that nation would be built and would form, he would give it their own land. They would be given a home. But the greatest blessing that he promised Abraham was the third, and that is, through his seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All men will be blessed through the spiritual seed of Abraham. Now, if you take your Bible and you turn to Galatians chapter 3, and you look at verse 28 and 29, Ephesians chapter 3, excuse me, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." What promise? The promise of life, the promise of eternal life, the promise of redemption. In Luke 19 and 10, the Bible says, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And when we read the Gospel of John over and over in that Gospel, he reveals to us that he did not come to do his will, but the will of the Father that sent him. So you see, the Father and the Son were working hand in hand in order to bring about man's salvation. God made the plan, and the centerpiece of that plan was his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Man needed a remedy for sin. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4 says that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Man cannot pay for his own sin because he had sin. He could not, he was a sinner. Romans 3:23 say all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being a sinner, he was in no position to redeem himself. It would take something pure, something sinless, something that was above blemish. And the Bible calls that, in 1 Peter chapter 1, something without spot and without blemish. And that was the life of Jesus Christ. If you remember, when he hung upon the cross, he prayed to his Father, "Father, forgive them," in Luke chapter 23, "for they know not what they do." They were fulfilling. They thought they were getting rid of him. They thought they were getting rid of this problem they had. And this, they looked at it as somebody that was a threat to their authority. They thought they would finally get rid of him by killing him, and they weren't getting rid of him. What they were doing was fulfilling the plan that God made before the world began. You know, I've been asked many times, how long did Jesus know that his end would come at Calvary? He knew it before he got here. He knew it before the world began. He knew that's how God was going to reconcile and bring sinful men back into relationship with him. You see, God and Jesus worked hand in hand in order to make it possible. God made the plan, but the plan could not be brought to fruition without the death of Christ upon the cross. He was a propitiation for our sin. Turn your Bible, if you have them, to Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter 3 and look at verse number 26. "To demonstrate the present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier and the one that we have faith in Christ." You see, in verse 25 says, "Whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. You see, that's why the cross goes both ways, backwards and forward. We're the blood that boils and gulps, the thing that redeemed sinful man who lived under the Mosaic covenant and the patriarchal covenant. Is that the blood of those animals and all those animal sacrifices? Is that what took away man's sin? No, that didn't take away man's sin. It put him in a position that when Jesus died on the cross, now that blood would be applied to their soul because of their being in line with it, because of their obedience to the law that they lived under. And now all those sacrifices will now be accepted, not by the blood of the animal, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, without spot, without blemish. He was sinless. He suffered in all ways like as we, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15, he was tempted in every way, through the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, but he never yielded. And so he was sinless. And so that was the basis of how God was going to reconcile and redeem sinful men back into this relationship that they enjoyed before they disobeyed and rebelled and committed sin. Sin is the thing that separates it from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And so what we see here today is it took the Father and it took the Son working in unison to bring about the salvation of all men, whether Jew or Gentile. All men are saved through Christ. But that was God's eternal plan before the world began. And what we need to understand and what men have grappled with for centuries is understanding what took God so long to bring this plan to fruition. Well, that's something that God determined. God worked on his timetable. In Galatians 4 and verse 4, the scripture says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law. God knew when and God knew how to bring about man's salvation. And when Jesus came into the world, he came not to do his will, but the will that sent him. He knew he had to die. He willingly died. People sometimes mistakenly think that when he was praying in the garden and he was asking the Father if there's another way that this cup can pass from me, that he was trying to get out of it. No, he wasn't trying to get out of it. He was just showing his humanity. He knew what lay ahead. He knew about the scourging. He knew about the suffering, the anguish, the pain, and all that entailed. And he wanted strength to make sure that he would be able to endure it, to follow the plan all the way to the end. And he did. So by the plan of the Father, and by the application of that plan by the Son, man has salvation. And so, in our two examples today, man is saved by God and by the Son, because they work together in order to bring about the salvation that can only be found in Christ Jesus, because that's the plan that God made before the world began. We hope and we pray that you make yourself, acknowledge your sinful condition, and render obedience to that plan before it's everlastingly too late. It is how God planned to save you, but you have a choice. We hope you make the right one.